Yeah, we walked from the school, old school here, across, over the bridge. And they lived quite a ways up.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, they lived part of just where, yeah, up the hill, because
yeah,
they lived
yeah,
where the ball, before the ball
yeah,
club went
yeah,
on. And we walked over every day because she used to read a chapter from this book, The Little Lake Prince.
Oh.
And we'd all go and visit Gary, and Mrs. Smith would read that book to us.
And they all went to Sunday school because the Sunday school teachers used to have a story, eh? And she'd go so far, and then they stopped. So they couldn't miss Sunday school the next Sunday because they had to go to listen to the rest of that story. And Mary Seeley, she could draw really good, and she had a blackboard, and she would draw these pictures for these the kids.
And, right, and she just had a little bit of a blackboard, but she had some colored chalk.
Mm-hmm.
And, boy, she, you know, she told the story. She drew the pictures. But I did a thing on the Bible from Reader's Digest, and just from what she taught us, I passed it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, I can remember. And she was, really. But Mrs. Smith, the one that put on all the plays, she could play the piano, too. And they were all self-taught.
Hmm.
But Mom, one time, told us that they were up at this old school, and the teacher left them. Nobody had to supervise them. Went over to her. To, I guess, at his home, like his
yeah,
school was here, and then the teachers would break it. And then they decided to have a church service. And they imitated the minister.
Well, this is Derek's school.
When I was going to school, yeah.
And
we, each one of us was somebody in the congregation, eh?
And they used to get really going. Paul Rains used to really get going. And bring the, and every, then they would say amen. God bless and all this. So they were doing this.
John Hanford.
Who are you, the preacher?
No.
John Hanford was.
And then he said, Sister Coker will lead us in prayer. So we all got down by our desks, say, on our hands and knees, and Sister Coker started to pray. And she went on. And of course, he was so busy praying, the school teacher came in, and he stood there and saw it all. And when we got up, we saw him there, said, when did you come? And he said, when Sister Coker started to pray.
So that's the kind of entertainment they had. They all went to church and then made fun of them.
And then we did a replay.
Yeah.
But we never did get to the Jap camp.
What is that?
When they brought the Japanese, you know?
Oh, right.
And that, and
during the war.
Yeah. When they invaded Pearl Harbor.
Yeah.
And they took them from the coast and brought them inland.
Yeah.
And that, and I was apparently the only one that ever went to the Jap camp. I said, I guess I'm so inquisitive that I had to go.
And where was
it
that?
You went down towards Giscum.
Okay.
Before you go across that little bridge, or the, what do you call it?
Culvert now.
Culvert. There's a road goes up the hill, That's where the Jap camp was.
So how many people were in that camp?
I really don't know, but they had steam baths, and they had flushing toilets, and they had everything in that camp. And one family lived here. Pumi and Sunshine, they lived right in Giscum.
Right.
And then some of them lived in houses around it. But a lot of them stayed in the Jap camp.
Oh, really?
Then they moved into Giscum after
yeah,
war.
So there was actually a camp,
a concentration camp for Japanese.
Oh, my goodness. And that was during the war. And then after, well, one of the stories I heard was that there were three or four families, Japanese families in Giscum.
Yeah, there was.
They stayed there.
Yeah.
Sato and Fumi Sasaki. And Sunshine and Sasaki's.
Right.
And then there was another...
Kita?
Huh?
I had Kita.
And there was
one of those students you mm-hmm, had, Lily?
Yeah.
And when Billy worked in Giscum, he worked with this little Japanese fella. But Eric, he could never remember his name, so he used to call him Minute Rice. And when Billy came back up here, and that Minute Rice saw him, and he said, hello, Billy. And Billy said, well, you know me. He said, Minute Rice.
Billy's your son.
You don't dare do that now. I don't. You know, but I had kids from East Indian children.
Oh, yeah.
And there was...
At Giscum?
Mm-hmm. Sukhavinder and Baljinder and or Rajinder and all that.
That would be more recent for me.
Yeah. And so anyway, when Sukhavinder came, I said to him, you're in Canada now, we're going to call you Suki. And I thought afterwards, well, but years later I met her brother, and I said something. I asked him how everybody was. And he said, then Susie's doing fine.
Oh, no.
She was the only one that wasn't a Jinder.
They don't do that anymore, though. They keep their names. And I think a lot of other countries, too, like, there's so many names I never ever heard of. Every day I come across.
Well, the Dharmas, there's the oldest one is Amman, and that's they're from Fiji.
Oh.
And the next one's Robert. And the oldest one, the one that died, was Neil. Yeah, and then she had Sashi,
right.
And but there's Robert and Neil was the Canadian names.
Mm-hmm.
And then she had Almond.
Too bad too, because the country Canada emphasizes the differences instead of the similarities.
Mm-hmm.
One thing
mm-hmm.
that why worry about how different we are? It's how much we are the same,
mm-hmm.
and it wouldn't be so much, you know.
I think it's getting
tension.
Better, though, in other ways.
Do you think so?
I think so.
Now that's all.
Well, here is
no.
Are you done?
Well, I hope so. But I was waiting because
this is a question I love asking. It's about gender relations. How would you describe your relationship between the men and women? And if women went out to work, what sort of work did they do?
Oh, I cooked in the Thai camps. I cooked in any place that there was a cooking job.
Well, you went with Dad.
Yeah. Yeah. I cooked for McDermott and Lofty for a month when the school was out and Eric was little and I could take him with me over to
You
there.
Didn't get paid?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Oh, you did?
But I was just wondering when you went to the Thai camp.
And
he
was your
work
for Dad.
Well, I guess I did. I got to, but no, I went to the Thai camps and cooked in the Thai camps and I cooked for the Thai loaders and
my grandmother.
And the ski jumpers.
Those were later years, so you never did that?
No.
Well, no, when the kids were small, I didn't.
But Mom worked in the sawmill.
Yeah, during the war.
Oh, did you?
Was a
canter.
Right.
You
worked.
Did?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And she came home bruised from
I did.
Yeah.
And I turned the cooking over to Mom, and I went to the sawmill. They were short of men. I went to the sawmill as a canter.
What is a canter?
And you roll the logs down to the saw.
Okay.
Canter.
Yeah. Someone else explain that to me.
I was getting hit with the handle of the canter.
But I think the women worked mostly. They had their gardens. They had their chickens.
Well, you know, during the Depression, most women didn't work because
there wasn't work for the men.
There was no work for the men. If the women took a job, so the man was the head of the household.
Yes.
And I remember with Ted and with my
give
husband,
her a push, she don't have to be.
Oh, no, I think
his wife, she was a nurse, and they lived together for about 3 or 4 years before they got married. But she had to go home every night to the nurse's residence. She'd spend weekends with him, and they never got married because
she
lost her job. Just like that.
And the same with teaching.
Teachers, same. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you needed to be single to teach.
Well, yes.
As a
very it was economics there. You know,
right.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, if two people worked in one family, there may be another family that nobody got a job.
Right.
So they were divided that way.
So that was
everybody.
The idea of that.
Job.
And that was actually a policy that was enforced.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I think we've talked about pretty well everything except maybe how you would describe the ethnic makeup of Little River. You mentioned that you knew some Japanese people.
We had everything.
About
10 Hungarian families.
Yeah.
Hungarian.
Oh, did you?
We had Little Saskatchewan, and they were up the road there. Everybody that came from Saskatchewan went up there, and we had Little Hungary, and that was down there. And then there was
that stuff on the map.
And then there was
English.
Yeah,
the Swedes were all over the place.
Yeah, but they were.
This is north.
They
were
mixed in
the
North Road, right?
Right. Yeah.
So that's where Little Saskatchewan was.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was up.
Actually, up in this area.
Yeah, it wasn't so far up north. It was just like out, just at the township.
That was after.
Yeah.
They came.
Yeah.
When the sawmill.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, actually, the Gauls and that, they came with, for and they worked for Edna McDougally.
Right.
And then they worked up the track there for Cook.
And DeMont,
that's where, when Steve
railroad.
Got her. Yeah, he was a railroader. He came from Houston to here. He was transferred from Houston to here. But Rose Perdente, she was born here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Her dad was a section foreman here.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
And then they moved to town.
Yeah, and then
isn't there a Perganti building in Fisher?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They owned the Europe Hotel. And Europe and the Columbus? No,
Louis Zamaro owned the Columbus.
Right.
When they I know everybody in Prince George. Now I don't hire anybody.
Right? That's why you couldn't walk the street in Prince George.
And any time that I want to talk to any of my friends, I have to go to the graveyard.
Where would it be? Was that from the Strathfield?
Like by the corner? Mm-hmm.
What's that, Evelyn?
You know where Cosmos is?
Oh, yes, I do.
Okay, it's in that block, like going
that way.
West.
Yeah, I
do. Well, Gretchen,
and there's a vacant lot there. There's nothing there.
I think I know what you mean.
And there's
yes.
a little bench there.
Yes,
you could grass
yes that's right.
Well,
yes.
That's where the Europe Hotel used to be.
Oh, I see. Okay. And then the Columbus was on the other side?
It's still there.
It's still there, yeah.
But wasn't there another one?
The generator.
The Columbus and...
But that was, they were on George Street.
Yeah. I thought that they
were... Where the courthouse is.
Well,
McDonald's.
Yeah, the McDonald's Hotel was on right on the corner there.
Right.
And then down from them was, what was their name? Verduzco's.
Yeah, what?
They owned a hotel.
What was the name of it? That was just at the other end of the block. And that was on the same side as the Columbus,
Canadian?
Right? No.
That was on George Street.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that was on George Street. But then where Minion House was on, down from 3rd Avenue.
There
down.
Lots of...
Yeah. And that's where we stayed
boarding
when we
house.
Had to take well, our...
Remember
when
the
we took our exams.
Yeah. Wasn't there a hotel in there, too? No, Prince George Hotel.
Okay. On the corner, right? Where it is now. But mm-hmm. the Shasta Cafe, that was... George Coleus owned that.
Yeah.
Well, I just have a couple more questions. How would you describe the racial or ethnic tensions? Or do you feel there were any?
No, there wasn't any.
No.
I mean,
really, I can tell you about that. I used to sit on the fence. As the Hungarians went by, I'd call them both. And they'd be yelling at me, "Sweet, you sweet, you sweet." And I'd say, "Yes, you sweet." And you know, when I talked to Rose, one of the girls that used to live here, she lives in Prince George, and we meet for lunch quite a bit. She says, "I can still see you there." She's with jam on your face and sitting on the fence post. And then I'd be down the road there to see if they keep me for supper, because their mother used to make wonderful chicken noodle soup, everything from scratch, the noodles and everything. So you'd be calling out names,
but
and then you'd go back for dinner. And then they found out that I could tell I could understand what they were talking about. You had to be a little more careful.
Yes.
It
was not real prejudice.
No.
It was kid stuff.
Yeah.
Kids do
nobody
that.
Paid any attention to them anyway.
You know, and we were friends in the next 2 seconds.
And one Christmas I came home from Prince George on the train, and Paul DeMoncus was on the train, and I went down to his house, and Mrs. DeMoncus had made the head cheese. Oh, God, it was good. So I
sure could cook.
Had head cheese down at her place, and the kids used to, whenever they made sauerkraut, they always got the kids to come down there, and they would take a pail as my clock.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And went down and took a pail and got some sauerkraut, and they used to put crab apples in it.
Oh, my.
But before the kids got home, they'd eaten all the crab apples out of the sauerkraut. But, I mean, I don't think there was any racial prejudice, and the Indians were just as good as the white man.
You know, I never realized that there was a prejudice until I was, just in recent years, after I was growing up. But it never fazed me, because my dad always
well, you know, you're pretty proud of where you came from. You know, you're Swedish, you're Scandinavian. So we had that in our head. Oh, we never thought about that we were anything at all. So when I think of it now, I can remember when we used to sit on the corner there opposite the old store, and we called our gossip corner. And, oh, I'm Irish, and I'm Scotch, and I'm English, and I'm this and that, and that was something to be.
Right.
And I think, no, Swedish, you know. And yet, you were, in their eyes, you know, other immigrants, the British, the British were
considering
us here. And we were immigrants, even though I was born here and that. But the kids, I never bothered me. So it didn't come out to any fighting or anything like that. But I was a real tomboy.
Well, when we was here one time, it was, I don't know, I forget how many years Canada had been altogether, you know, and that, and Mrs. Smith was, we were going to have a big picnic out on the point, like up on the North Road, and that, and we were going to put on a play, and it was called O Canada. And the Mrs. Smith and them, they came from the States. My folks came from England. The Newsoms came from England. The Wilsons came from Scotland. And that, and so they were, and of course Mary Seeley was not, she was an American. And Newsom, he kind of, and Ruby was, they figured Ruby should be Miss Canada, eh? But Mrs. Smith was putting on the play, and so Mary Seeley was to be Miss Canada, and the rest of us were her subjects, eh? And we had to worked on the play for months anyway till we got it right, and we were going to put on this play on the 1st of July. So anyway, then it came up. Mr. Newsom went to Mrs. Smith and he said, you know, Mary shouldn't be Miss Canada because she is an American. He said it should be Ruby. That was his dog. And anyway, Mom got on her high horse and she said, well, she said, it should be Ruth. He said, Ruth is just as much English and that as Ruby is. And she said, what's more, the only Canadian there is, he said, is Sophie Denham. She's the only Indian, she said. So Sophie Denham should be Miss Canada. So Sophie Denham was Miss Canada. Yeah.
That's true.
Oh, it's a cute story. When I first taught, the first year I was teaching, my class got into a fight about something like that. So I sat them all down and I made them tell me where they were from. I said, say it. You're an Indian. Where are you from? So, and we never had trouble.
Did they show?
I don't know where they were from. But anyway, they had, so they were out in the playground giving us kids that time.
Well, when Joey Vasella was here, and they were from
Malta,
and that's a British possession, eh? And I had a fight with Harold Pennington over that because I said Frank Vasella could vote because that was a British possession, and he could vote because he was here before 1947. Oh, we had a no. He said he can't. I said he can. And so anyway, we had a big argument. I said, okay, phone Prince George, and I said, Frank, don't you leave here because I said I know I'm right, and so. Harold got on the phone and he phoned and he found out that I was right, and he had to admit that I was right, even if I didn't have, wasn't a school teacher.
You had British ancestry. You were.
Yeah. And so right Frank there. Voted, eh? So here. And that, but they used to call him Joey a DP. And he didn't know what a DP was. And that, and he got into a fight with a little Indian kid up here and he said, you damn DP.
There you go. He's the only one. Then I sort of thought, well, that was the pot calling the kettle black, but actually he wasn't then. He was considered British subject.
Yeah, but the only thing was he didn't know what a DP was because everybody called him
bad,
displaced persons, and he thought that, but he didn't even know what they all just said, called him a DP, eh? And then he said, you damn DP, and he was an Indian.
Yeah, you wouldn't be able to call anybody that today either.
Nobody would know what a DP is.
No, but
if you did know, you'd probably get a lawyer. But actually, it's
a displaced person.
It is,
first,
the immigrants that came over after war, they were displaced.
Sure they were.
Yes, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, speaking of names, I was going to say, this is nothing to do with my district. When the immigrants came over from different countries in Europe and wherever, everything was written out by hand, like the immigration offices and that. And what's your name? Oh, Viloskonski or something. Oh, okay. We'll name you
Filken.
And they changed their name right there.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. A lot of people, and their names were changed by those people.
They couldn't spell.
By the immigration officers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah,
well, yeah. Holy Kronbracken, and he became Holy Bracken.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And his name was Kronbracken.
And that was done at the immigration office.
Well, he said nobody could spell it, so he might as well take something they could spell.
It didn't sound British enough. Mm-hmm.
No. And I imagine most of the immigration officers were...
Oh, they were British. All the Mr. people that worked in offices,
George,
in government buildings, you didn't get a job there unless you were British.
Is that
right?
Right.
And now you don't get a job unless you're new Canadian.
Yeah, right.
You have to be an ethnic, visible as a minority.
Well, things have changed.
George Milburn, he was the big shot in Prince George during the war.
Well, Mr. Newsom was here.
Yeah.
He was the mayor of Wood River.
Big shot. Big shot of Wood River.
Because when George Harvey, during the Depression, and George Harvey set a cow moose up on top, somebody reported him, and George Milburn and George Harvey, and of course George Harvey was just a bloke, from England, but George Milburn, he'd gone to school it was George Milburn that had to get after George Harvey because he'd shot this moose. And George said to him, "Listen, George," he said, "I never wasted one square inch of that moose." He said, "I took that." Well, Aunt Lil was there. He said, "I took the different pieces, cut it all up, and I took it and I gave it to all those people that were in Giscombe that needed some, you know, that was, and that." And he said, "So I never wasted any of that meat." And George, when he came out, he came and stayed here, and he said, "You know, Ruth," he said, "when I went in the First World War," he said, George Milburn said, "Goodbye, George, I'll see you." He said, "He never went in the army." He said, "He went and got a good education, and now he's putting me in jail because I shot a moose."
But he broke the law.
No, and he said, "George," he said, "you know, you can't shoot a moose." He said, "Can't I? I can shoot anything I point my gun at."
Yeah, they had very, very stringent laws about shooting out of season.
Oh, did they?
Even back then.
And this was in what?
In the early, in that depression, the early 30s.
Wow. People spent time in jail because of it.
Is that right?
Well, they had it better then because then the government had to keep their family and them.
Oh, that's true.
And there wasn't any welfare.
When we lived on this side of the track, and then the railroad was the divisional line, and you could shoot a moose on our side of the track, but you couldn't shoot one on the opposite side of the track. So if you shot one on the opposite track, you were into trouble because that was the close. So even the game warden that used to be in Vanderhoof was Phil Brown. He was, and he shot a moose on the wrong side of the track, and he dragged it over to our side of the track and skinned it because it was against.
You can only hunt in certain areas.
Right. After he got be a game warden, one of the fellows that knew he had shot that moose went to him as when he was in the game warden in Vanderhoof, and he said, "Phil," he said, "can I get a license to shoot a cow moose?" And he said, "No, you can't." Well, he said, "I remember the time that you did." Of course, then when Phil looked up, he recognized the person that was talking to him.
Anybody else? Oh my God.
Didn't you put any coffee in there?
I thought it was.
I wonder if we could just go over. I'll read through these questions really quickly.
Yeah.
Okay, you have water supply to the house we talked about. We talked about sewer disposal. We talked about garbage. Roads. Did you have horses that you got around with at first?
There was no roads here. You were lucky if you had a car and you didn't. There was no road to Prince George.
There was no. That's what I was wondering, if you had a road to Prince George.
Yeah,
but you had horses too.
Yeah.
Well, where would you have brought the car from then? On the railroad?
In Prince George.
And you'd bring it in on the train?
There was roads.
Yeah, but not, they were roads. But in the first part of the, when we first came, there was no road to Prince George. They put that through in 28.
Ah. Okay, well I would remember.
Mr. Newsom always had a car.
Yeah.
Yeah, every time Dad paid his bill in the spring, he bought a new car. Everything was charged at the general store.
Right. You'd have a tab.
There was no income.
Mm-hmm.
You'd be busy making ties, and as soon as they came in, and the railroad got them, put them on the railroad, and he got paid by the CN, he'd go and pay this bill, and it was usually around $1,000, I guess. And You some always seem to get a new car right after that.
Because they were only about $800 for, you know, fairly nice car. And during the war, you couldn't buy a car.
Oh, I heard about that. They just made planes.
You couldn't even buy tires.
Jeeps.
Oh, wow.
Or gas was very strange.
They had gas rationing, though, right?
Well, liquor was even rationed during the war. And the first time, only time in my life I ever have had a card, thing for to buy liquor. I had one then. I had to have one because they took me to town and said I had to get a...
Now, too. She had she had to get her.
People must have had stills and stuff, though, right?
Yeah, so that she could get the gin and the whatever.
Didn't people have stills in their basement?
Oh, not.
No, we used to have a barrel by the stove. I couldn't
my dad making this.
Wine, what did he use?
Dandelion wine.
Beet was good. Beet wine was really nice.
It
was before it was... Yeah.
I remember raisins floating around.
God, when I cooked out at Nearing's camp, and that those boys went out in the bush and they took a barrel and a bunch of grain and put some water on it and they fermented it and they made moonshine.
Oh.
And God, out in the middle of the forest and that, and Walter Nearing went out there and he saw the smoke and he said, "For God's sake," he said, "you guys should put that fire down. If the lookout sees that, they'll be out here and catch you guys red-handed." So then they had to go to Walter Nearing's house and cook it out.
I get it.
And I didn't know what had happened to my cream can because I had sugar in it. And when I was home for the weekend, the cream can disappeared. They had taken the sugar out to make this moonshine.
Well, but even when I was teaching in Giscombe, they raided Giscombe. They don't have a house.
Were they making their own?
Yeah.
Wine. Great.
Too.
Well, you couldn't make wine then like you can today.
But you can make it now, but you can't sell it.
Oh, no.
But they were selling it all over the Portuguese.
The Moncos?
they raided them all at once.
Oh.
And some of them one of the guys managed to get home. And he was up and hiding in the attic, and his wife answered the door. The police came, and she fainted. Well, they never looked up, so they didn't catch him. But... it's surprising, though. Nothing happened to them, other than they got raided.
I remember Mrs. DeMonco used to go to town every Saturday morning on the local.
Yeah.
Come back on the passenger train at night, and she had a huge suitcase. I don't know how she carried that.
Who? Mrs. DeMonco.
And what would she have in the suitcase?
Foods. And then
foods.
They'd sell it.
Was that during Prohibition?
It was against the law anyway to liquor.
Because under the same laws that
drugs to buy it here.
Oh, but they never did that.
No, they never.
So there was no license outlet.
No. My husband was a place where a lot of owners had to sell it here. Right. American
everybody
had working for him.
You know, there's an awful lot of single men.
They lived up from old. And they grew
little shops and stuff.
Oh, really? And his wife, they got busted. And his wife was an English girl. She'd come here in front when she was 3 weeks old. Mm-hmm. Her parents came.
Maybe she buys.
And they got called John into court.
Or something.
And they were going to deport him down to the States. And Joe said, "Well, they were my class." And the judge said, "I can deport you too." She'd been in Canada since she was 3 weeks old from England. My husband says they got threatened with that.
Growing the marijuana.
Oh, yeah.
But it's the same law as under the bootleg.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, sure.
Alcohol.
Mm-hmm. Not one of those Portuguese is ever charged, that I know.
Wow.
But the American and the English were charged. That was cute.
Mm-hmm. About the same time.
Oh, really? And that was with marijuana.
Yeah. But as I say, there was the Hungarian Revolution. Right. The recent one.
50s.
And I had girl come right from Hungary, and she came into my class. Her parents eventually came here from Giscombe and built a house. And they had their friends. All the Hungarians, I guess, they came and they knew. And they came and they put in a fence, they painted the house, they put in a garden, everything. And put a basement up because of the house at the same time. Because one day I came home in the middle of July, great big smokestack going out through their chimney. They were making home. They went back to Hungary on quite a few trips.
I bet.
with the posies.
Yeah.
Well, I should just run through these questions quickly. I guess we've discussed shopping, medical facilities. Did you actually have a doctor here in Willow River?
When the construction time, when they had the...
Weren't they in Gisco?
Oh, yeah, there was a doctor in Gisco.
Oh, there was a full-time doctor?
Yeah, the company had a doctor. That's where I had my fingers.
My dad had to go on horseback to Gisco to get the doctor.
To get the doctor.
To get back his name, Dr. Lashley.
Dr. Lashley.
I think he did. And Uncle Lars didn't get to deliver me like Dad delivered Norman. Didn't get the doctor in time.
Yeah. Well, of course you had
Mom delivered
no telephone.
Yeah.
No. Oh, did you?
Yeah. Three. One died.
Your mom did.
Yeah.
She was the story. Right here. Her mom.
Mm-hmm.
Is Christopher and Lars? Is that what we're
saying? No. Yeah, and the baby from Newlands.
Yeah. Well, we got him to hospital. But
oh, yeah. We kept him alive till they got him to town. Wasn't it?
No, it was a boy.
The Kennedy baby died of that caning, with lung.
Oh.
I said, well, I guess they couldn't save the Kennedy baby. They couldn't do that.
No, not developed.
No. Well, I think it was only 7 months between the one baby she died and this one.
Oh.
I took that baby into the hospital with his dad. The mother was here, because I knew we had to get him to the hospital. And they didn't know what the heck to do with it because there was a newborn with no mother. I said, well, argue about it afterwards. Get him up.
Where was the mother?
Here. I was looking after
her. Well, we sent for the ambulance, but the ambulance didn't come in time. So the dad and I, we took the baby. It was about 35 below.
Oh, my goodness. Did you go by car then?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Lillian was in such a hurry. She drove into the snowbank.
Well, I told Mom, I said, if you ever going to deliver a baby again, let me know. So she phoned and said, come on. I was so excited I got in the ditch. I was backing out of our grass.
She had to walk. By the time she got here, the baby was here.
So I bundled it up and took it. But I didn't want to keep it too bundled up because I was afraid of not being able to breathe very well anyway. So we brought it to the hospital and they said, it really looks good.
Yeah,
he didn't move.
What an experience.
Well, I think we are just about done, Bruce. Unless you want to spend a little time going over these
doctors
things, or would you?
Bruce, not only pictures and that are different from different people and that. Mostly, it's those who lived around here and and that.
Anybody that died or married was married.
That may be a good idea to go over that when you come back, just a transcript.
Right. We could do that.
Yeah.
Because then you'll have read through it and you might have some questions.
Okay. That's a good idea. And the other thing, I wonder if you had any names of people, other people that we might contact?
Well, I don't, we thought of Alice Neal because she's been around here as long as we have.
Kathy and Archie.
Oh, they're going to do it, hey? Oh, yeah.
And they may know people, too.
Oh, they
know. And they know, too, because...
They lived in Gisco.
Yeah. And they lived in Big River. The Smiths didn't, but they lived in Big River, the Cottoms and the Neals, yeah. Because they came the same time as we
did. Well, Alice was married in Gisco.
Yeah. Before she was married to Dunk, her and Dunk used to come up to visit with us down by the river.
Brown.
What?
Any of your bag, I think, would be... Been here very long?
No.
Well, do you know you might?
No, go ahead. It's in right in there. You'll find it right in the front room there. But
I made an appointment to donate blood for 12:40.
I'm afraid you won't.
So
no.
I think I should call the hotel.
Right in there, my dear. Right around the thing and over to that window there. You see it.
Jane Bacolic. She might have.
Is that Jane Pennington?
Yeah.
Where does she live?
She lives at Six Mile Lake, doesn't she? Still, I think so, yeah.
I wouldn't even know her.
They had her.
Oh, yes, you would. She hasn't changed a bit. Last time I seen her, I knew her.
Yeah, but I didn't. She wasn't around here when I wasn't around here when she was around.
She hasn't changed from that picture in the book.
Would you happen to have any photographs or newspaper clippings that we could borrow?
There's all kinds of newspaper clippings, but I don't know whether there's anything that...
It looks like you've got quite a collection there.
This is the Johnson family up on the
Yeah, Island. Yeah, Steiner and Ole.
Have you got the one when the Eagle Lake sawmill closed?
Yeah, it's amongst the jumps there someplace.
That's the one where they interviewed you, Lily. Yeah, that was good.
Well, I don't know what you think, but it's all there. This was one of the boys that lived here, and he was a trucker. He was killed, or he died, actually died. And that's what they, that's what this.
That was at his funeral.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. So what year
and this is my grandson
around?
Oh, really? Huh?
Well, this is 84. There's Alfred.
Here's Gretchen in the bottom there.
Yeah, yeah. Before she was married.
Yeah, and there's the picture. This is a telegram from my brother in the, when he went back, when he went to overseas.
Oh, look at that. April 41.
Here it is.
This boy was, he was working in a pit and the thing caved in and buried him.
Rain check?
Yeah, that's right. I just rescheduled it to 225.
There's Ben Gilbert. Here's Ben Prince.
Here's Omar Sharif.
Yeah.
There's John Strome.
John, when he was in Cyprus.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And this is his wedding.
Is that a cousin?
But doesn't he look like...
Yeah.
did you know he just... He was in Sweden, went into a famous cross-country ski race this winter.
Oh, did he?
That boy was the ski instructor, and he was killed that one there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he was a ski instructor.
Well, there's Mrs. Mooney. Well, that's pretty sure that's Alfred George.
Yeah, Bill Pascal. They had the ice cream parlor in Prince George.
Oh, that's what you were talking about before. Yeah.
Oh, what was it before? Candy Allen.
Yeah, Candy Allen.
His brother.
She was there when. And there's Dr. Murphy.
Yeah.
He was my doctor, and he died in Hawaii from a heart attack. Mm-hmm. He went on holiday.
Of course, all of our stuff.
Tom Payne.
Yeah.
This is a picture of Laura. She looks like
This looks like
Jackie
an old
note.
Yeah, that's out of the Bible.
She was very
1942.
Yeah,
she was. Huh?
That's my brother.
Yeah. That's Stephen.
Stephen.
And Jacora, one kid that used to live here. That's a bear. We were out cutting wood, and that he was underneath the tree, and the snow had gone away, and the bear underneath.
So someone was brave enough to take that picture.
Yeah. They had a rope around it. The guys that were falling the trees had a rope around the tree, so nobody would cut the tree down.
Yeah. Oh, that's
okay.
Okay,
yeah.
The family reunion of grandmothers,
but he didn't.
Okay.
But he
called it for a family.
If there's a different cat.
Oh, really?
But I just want to, they settled around Rocky Mountain.
There's John Newsom's.
Yeah.
Right up.
And all that.
How long has they been gone anyway?
Mr. Newsom?
This is the kids.
He died before.
We had pancake breakfast.
Oh, yeah.
Sent those kids all on the train.
They had ridden
on the train.
So
took them. They sent them on the train.
Oh, the kids came up here from Prince George.
No, the kids from Giskin went to Prince George. Lillian was there.
There's Carl.
Yeah,
there's Carl. He was first in the Seaforth Islanders when he first went into the Army.
Oh, boy.
That's him there.
That's the neighbors that used to be here. They're both dead now. Mm. There's the school teacher from Giskin.
And when he went overseas, he was transferred to the Brockney Engineers.
So this is Mr. and Mrs. DeMonco.
Yeah.
I mentioned them.
That's the lady that brought the booze in her suitcase.
There's Alfred.
Highland Dancers.
Mm-hmm. And their son, I guess Paul,
Someone had a birthday.
Yeah, I knew him when he couldn't speak a word of English. He came from Sweden, and he was working for Edward McDougall, and he stayed at our place. And
that was the big fun.
And they didn't have any money at all. And Christmas time, my mom invited all those guys to come to our place for Christmas, and Bob never forgot that. And when Mom went into Simon Fraser Hospital, he was the caretaker for this at Simon Fraser. And every morning he came, he brought Mama Rose.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
She wouldn't.
And he said, I never forget.
Is that right?
Yeah. And
so there you go.
I never forget, he said, that
my brother died.
The Christmas dinner, yeah, he said, because we were away from home and nobody. And young kids. Yeah, there's Mr. and Mrs. DeMoncus. This girl is a friend of Lillian's, and she's blind. She's a.
And play with me after school, I guess.
Her hair and everything. She's albino.
Oh,
yeah, and she's blind, and she's teaching Japan.
How did that happen?
Like the Hawaiian, you could walk all around it, like the kitchen, the dining.
Falabella, they live here too, didn't they?
Huh?
Did they live here, Falabella?
Millie Bell, but not Val.
And was it just because she was a friend of Joe's?
Fighting
with him and everything. Anyway, he came.
Here's an old timer that used to live here. So Davidson.
They lived up on the farm where Evelyn was born. There, that little girl is there. That's the one that. Her grandmother used to come out here with the kids on weekends and stay.
I know this lady.
Yeah, that's what do you call them? Bernice Trick. Yeah, Mary Trick. Well, she was Mary Morris when she used to come out here.
There was Trick Sawmill.
But that was at Lisa Lake.
Oh, and we need to interview John Trick.
Did you?
Yeah. We need to. We're supposed to.
Oh, yeah.
That's his son?
Yeah.
I think he's
that's
on my
her
list.
Husband.
Her husband, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Bernice's husband.
He's Bernice's husband.
No, I'm thinking of
Ambrose was Mary's husband.
Well,
Ambrose Trick.
Well,
but he's dead.
Talking about is John Trick's stepmother.
Yeah.
Oh. Do you want me to shut this off?
Excuse me.
Yes, sure, because we're not, what do you call them now? We're just reminiscing.